Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. 12 hours from now, polls will begin opening for the midterm elections. Already more than 35 million people have cast their ballots in early voting. But why is this midterm election year such a hot political ticket? Well, tonight we're asking you what, not who, is bringing you to the polls. My guests are political strategist Drew Elands, Reverend Lennox Yearwood, president and CEO of the Hip Hop Caucus, and Nia Duggins, deputy director of advocacy for Black Girls Vote. Thank you all for coming in. We are going to get into this. Give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming in.
Good to be here.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Okay, Drew, you've been here first. You've been here before, so let me first start with you. Not who, but what is bringing people to the polls? Are they voting for something or against something? Your thought.
You know, actually, as I thought about you doing the intro and thinking about what people are voting for, I think it's a combination of both. There's voting for and there's voting against. I think we are really tired of the whole idea, as they talk about, or as Trump has said about this whole PC, but I think we kind of missed the civility, at least what seemed to be somewhat of some civility. I think there is a repudiation of the racism, the sexism, the misogynist, all the other isms you can come up with that comes out of there that has fanned the flame, if you will. There's already the ugliness. It's the undercurrent of who we are as a country. So I automatically believe that some of us are voting against that, but voting for a renewal and a new direction of where they think we should be going. And, you know, seeing President Obama come out, it just kind of reminded you of the time of where we used to be, where we knew that there was still some ugliness. It was still some things that was pushed against them. But right now, what we have in the White House has ripped this scab off, and there's a whole lot of ugliness that's been spilling out. And I just think we're trying to clean that up. So we're voting for a cleanup, and we're voting to repudiate the nastiness that's already out there. That's just my thought.
Nia, do you agree with that?
I do. I think there is a lot. The political climate now is really, it's very intense, and I think people are very frustrated, but I think a lot of movements also, including the Me Too movement and other movements, have precipitated, and also a lot has happened since 2016, but even in the past few years around policing and how we police Black and brown communities, around women and women's rights. So there are a lot of issues that are coming to the forefront as well. And so people are, I mean, it's time's up, not just when it comes to the Me Too movement, but also in the polarization of the political space.
What do you think, Reverend?
Well, I agree. I mean, I think that people are voting for something. I think that they are voting for their lives. They're voting for literally their existence. I think we had a March for Our Lives, just about six or seven months ago. Mm-hmm. We had young folks who were gathering because they were tired of being afraid to being killed and shot to death, and having the NRA and other groups like that just having this overrun as far as our politicians. And so I think that you now have a young people who I've seen around this country who are saying that, listen, if either you're going to do your job or we have to stand up. And they're now, I've been out here organizing for so long, I have never seen so many young people who have been so excited. I mean, I've been doing this for years, and I've seen, I mean, on college campuses, in the streets, in the barbershops, I have never seen a kind of passion to get out the vote like I have seen this time. And so I'm telling you, young folks are literally saying that, listen, our parents fought for equality in the 20th century. We are fighting for existence in the 21st century.
Yeah.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are 24 hours away from the midterm elections. What are you voting for? Or perhaps you're voting against something. What is bringing you to the polls? And are there those of you out there who are not convinced that you should vote at all, that indeed you're going to sit this one out? I'd like to hear from you, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Now, all of you agree. We have a very progressive panel here, but some people who are conservatives, they are, you know, Republicans or even right leaning independents, they may be voting. They may be voting for, or some would say, voting against immigrants. They may be voting for. Or against, I should say, political correctness. They may be voting to keep the House and the Senate in control of Republicans. And so is America really prepared to do battle tomorrow? Is that what we're seeing right now? Anyway.
Yes, we are seeing that. You are seeing America. I mean, let's be clear. I mean, we are so inundated now with news that shocks us. I mean, just last week we saw the news with those who were killed at the synagogue. We saw the story of the white supremacists who couldn't get into the church, who then shot down the two senior citizens. We saw we had the pipe bomb that had been sent through the mail. I mean, there have been stories that those that are being held, the children have been separated from their mothers. There's been story after story that I think that we've been so beaten down that folks just need to do something. And voting, I think, on either side, I'm being Republican or Democrat or independent, I don't care which side you want. I think folks just need to make their voices heard. And I think what you're seeing now across this country, the early vote numbers have far exceeded what they were in the 2014 midterm.
Well, and here's the thing that I find, you know, really, really interesting. When we saw the special election in Alabama, we talked about the power of black women turning the tables there. And we're hearing a lot about that, considering what's happening in Georgia with Stacey Abrams. We're hearing about that in Florida and even in Virginia. Nia, do you think that black women again are going to be a significant contributing factor to the midterm elections? Because there was a lot of talk about what suburban meaning white women.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So is this going to be black women and white women, or it's going to be black women against white women?
Well, black women have always been a very significant voting bloc and have held a lot of power. I think definitely the Democratic Party, you know, on some level has been awakening to that, to say, look, black women are significant, and we have, in some regard, taken that vote for granted, right? But black women will be a determining factor in this election, as in many other elections. To say that it will be, you know, black women versus suburban white women, I don't know that to be true necessarily. But in terms of issues, a lot of the issues are synonymous when it comes to sexual assault, when it comes to violence, when it comes to even issues with school safety. Those are issues that translate and transcend many communities. And so black women, too, will be voting on those issues. School funding is a huge one, that and where the money is going from the gaming communities. The gaming sector within Maryland is one of the issues on the ballot, and securing those funds for education. Those are one of the issues, and that's one of the issues that will be on the ballot. So these are key issues that impact black women, black communities, and broadly families of color and communities of color. So, yes. Yes, black women will have a large say so in what happens tomorrow.
What I say about Alabama, because that's where I hail from, is I don't want us to get away from the fact that black people came out in droves for Doug Jones. So it was a high number for black women and black men that came out. However, black women have always come through and held it down for this country. We've always had that moral cord, that moral center to make sure that we move us, or attempt to move us into the right direction. For centuries, we've been those folks, and sometimes we haven't always gotten the credit that we need. But for our white women, our white sisters, if you will, the 53%, you know, honestly, I'm not really sure, because I think the part that really hit me hard in 2016 was that some of those 53% of white women, it wasn't the uneducated and the pro-white folks. Right. In fact, Hillary Clinton edged Donald Trump out. It was those that earned $90,000 or more. Yes. So that's like my neighbors, right? That's like the folks who have their children at school with my son. That's like all of those folks that when he was in the private school, that means that a lot of them voted for him. So when I look at that, right, it's like half of the 10 women, white women I know, y'all voted for him. I just believe that maybe they may turn around, but when they hear the sexual assault and they hear all of this stuff, they already heard it. They know he's a liar. They know exactly who he is. And maybe they feel good about benefiting from the tax plan. But let me just tell you this. You get no pass from me, right? I understand exactly where you're coming from. And I believe it was my sister, Brittany Packett, that said, you know, your whiteness won't save you from the patriarchy that's already out there that's going to take from you. So either you get it together or you get left behind. But I believe, I'm so happy to hear Reverend Yearwood talking about these young people.
Yes.
That's right.
Because right now, I'm believing right now. I'm not going to even think about these polls. I'm not even worried about these polls.
Well, the poll,
I'm not worried
we know what happened with the polls.
They're saying now that young people are saying, they're putting these articles out that millennials are saying, it's too hard to vote. I'm not trying to vote. Whatever. Because when I realized that Parkland actually gets the vote for the first time right now, I know that Andrew's going to sail through, and I believe that that's going to be a movement throughout this country.
You're talking about Andrew Gillum in Florida.
Yeah.
Let me, I want to drill down a little bit more about women, but I do need to go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about what is bringing you to the polls, not who, but what is bringing you to the polls. Our lines are open. Eddie, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Eddie. What's on your mind?
Thank you very much.
Sure.
This is Mr. Fisher I'm talking to, right?
Yep.
I commend you on your show. I listen to you often. I want to
thank
say
that.
I knew your father. I was a Washington Post reporter.
Thank you so much.
Edward D. Sargent is my name. Friends call me Eddie. I was also a spokesman for law enforcement. But
I remember the byline in both. What's your question? Yeah.
The reason I'm giving you that background is that I'm a native Washingtonian. I care a lot about my city. I remember I was in college at the first time we had the right to vote in D.C. And I remember getting my absentee ballot. And this call is maybe will help others out there get motivated, because I'm not really motivated. But the more I think about it, I voted for Marion Barry when the first election happened. I was so proud, and I knew my vote mattered. Now it's kind of cloudy. You know, we don't know that. Candidates, not a lot of electricity. But my mother told me last night, a lot of people died for this. For the right for you to vote. And even more importantly, the complacency is what got us into this predicament today. Obama, as you remember, he said, I will take it personally if you don't come to the poll and continue my legacy through Hillary, I believe he was endorsing. Yeah. So I just want to say that here's the question. What really is the difference, though, in this election? Is there a national candidate that we in D.C. that's going to be on the ballot? Is there a national candidate at all?
First of all, before we even get to that, and I would invite you to hang on, because you brought up a couple of issues. And before we even answer that, I want you to listen to something that Tim Kaine said to me today when I talked to him. Listen very, very carefully about what your vote means. Whether it's D.C., Virginia, or Maryland, it makes no difference. But he's speaking about something that happened just this year in Virginia.
A whole lot of people chose not to vote in 2016, weren't, you know, with that same attitude. And I think the results of that election, many of us view the results as catastrophic. And it was largely based on the decision by so many not to participate. In Virginia, for sure, people's votes count. we had the control of our state legislature in 2017 decided on a coin flip where a legislative race tie that would have led the Democrats to power share in the lower house because the coin flip went against us.
You cannot sit here, Mr. Sargent, and say that your vote does not count, because when that happened last year in 2017 in Virginia, in that House vote, the difference, like he said, was a coin flip. If there had been one other vote either way, and if you had lived in that legislative district and you had voted, your vote would have made a difference. This is not about national. This is about everything from national down to your ANC commissioner.
Amen, brother. That's the ball I wanted to pitch to you. You hit it right out the park. And I wasn't saying that my vote didn't matter, but I'm trying to help you reach people like me who kind of were on the fence until just recently, when my mother pointed out, even in D.C., like you said, locally, if Democrats, you know, this is a Democratic, you know, enclave, and I, as a Democratic voter, have inclinations, say, well, look, I got a job, I got to go to Alexandria, I got kids, my vote's not going to matter. But the point is, my mother said, I'm wrapping this up, hey, you're a Republican candidate.
I've got to go because I've got to take a break, but I think the best thing that you said is that your mother said so. Always listen to your mother. Eddie, thank you so much. I appreciate it. We've got more of this conversation. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Voting for something or voting against something, want to hear from you. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. What is not, or what is, bringing you to the polls? Not who, but what? That's the question tonight. My political strategists are Drew Eland, Reverend Lennox Yearwood, President and CEO of Caucus, and Nia Duggins, Deputy Director of Advocacy for Black Girls Vote. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Reverend, I'll start with you as we pick back up from that last point. How do you get to people who are still on the fence the day before Election Day?
Well, I think what I've learned over these many, many years is that that question says more sometimes about the person than it says about the actual system. Because a lot of times when you think your vote doesn't matter, it means, in some cases, that you don't think you have the power to create change, and you think that your community is not worth what it's worth. And then, you know, because you've been beaten down and you don't see it. And all you've seen, politicians, if you want to keep it 100, as we say, politicians will show up between October or in October, and then they'll be gone again. And then they're not, and then you won't see them again until either 2 years later or 4 years later to get your vote. And so you think you're not really as, and today as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of Shirley Chisholm, you know, who had that famous saying, if you don't get a seat at the table, bring a folding chair. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, that kind of mentality is hurting our community. What I've seen, and I'll just tell you, one of the things in working with the hip hop community when we did our Respect My Vote campaign, you know, I would come across artists. It'd be artists who were millionaires who didn't think their voice mattered. I mean, so you got to understand this, the mentality. Yeah, right, folks, that's right. It's not even about being rich. I'm talking about folks who were literally now who have, you know, Bugattis and Benzes and they're flying first class and don't think their voice matters. They think that I can only do this this way. And so one of the things, I'm so proud of artists like who we got involved from, like T.I., who I know now is actually talking about, you know, voter protection in Georgia,
yes.
or mm-hmm. Amber Rose, who's mm-hmm. doing things now in California, telling from women's voting. I mean, I can go down the list, Vic Mensa and so many others. And so I think the thing for me is this, is that I want to speak to particularly black and brown people, and we have to do a better job of holding politicians accountable,
yes.
not up to the six, mm-hmm.
yes.
but past the six,
yes.
so that our communities really feel their voice matters, that they understand that democracy is not just about voting, but it is a much more detailed,
yes.
like voting is just like, I say this, like voting is like you're getting your gym membership. But if you never go to the gym, if you have a gym membership, you won't, nothing will change.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have to make it work for you.
Exactly.
Nia, how do you get someone to fall off the fence if they've been sitting on the fence? How do you get them to fall off and vote?
So I think one of the things is that, one, you give them stats. And I know in the primary that was held back in June in Maryland, specifically in two races, candidates won and lost by a matter of 6 and 7 votes. Like, that mm-hmm. is significant. Like, until you're literally having to go and count every last vote, those votes matter. And so it's about giving people statistics, but it's also about empowering them. There were a lot of young people that we were able to mobilize. Black Girls Vote was able to mobilize on the first day of early voting, which was held on in Maryland on October 25th. And we were able to take over 100 young people to the polls. Dr. David Wilson, as well as our partnership with Tumblr, through this initiative, we were able to march to the polls and take over 100 young people. There were some young people who even said, and specifically black men who said, look, I don't believe in voting. I don't think my vote matters. And some of them we followed up with and saw this week, and they were wearing, look, I voted sticker, right? Because now they understand
That's right.
that, look, I'm empowered in a different way. And I think mm-hmm. not only that, but they had to hear from their peers. It's not just, okay, I'm listening to mama, I'm listening to daddy. But no, their peers are stepping up. And young people are stepping up in record numbers to say, no, you're going to listen to us. When there is school shootings, when there are school shootings taking place in our, you know, in our schools, when our neighborhoods are not safe, we are going to speak up and speak out mm-hmm. and in large numbers. And that's what's happening, not just in Baltimore, but across the country. Young people are stepping up. We saw it in Ferguson. We saw it in, you know, in New York with Eric Garner. We've seen young people step up in many, many ways and in different cities. And the same is true now.
Drew, real quick before I go to the
phones. I was just going
to
say, mm-hmm. the difference here is it is better to be proactive than reactive. So a lot of times when we're hearing everything she just said is a reaction. But, you know, things in Ferguson wouldn't have happened the way it had happened if we had been a part of the voting process, and that the people who we have in the office and the prosecutor and everybody either looked like us or at least thought like we thought in order for our security. It wouldn't have been the overtaxation of those communities, because those people we elected to be there. And then, as Reverend Yearwood said, we have to advocate. It's more than just going to the polls. We have to come with an agenda
right.
to at least say, now that they got a new prosecutor
yes.
in Ferguson,
yes.
we need to see some things change.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We
yeah.
need to see some things change in that regard.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Sarah calling from St. Mary's County. Hey, Sarah, what's on your mind?
Hi. I'm just weighing in on what was said earlier
mm-hmm.
about women voting.
Yes.
And especially the demographic between white women and black women.
Yes,
in America.
Go right ahead. Yeah.
I'm married to a black man.
Mm-hmm.
I am a white woman, and I'm voting for equality. I want my children to grow up in an America where it doesn't matter who you are, what you believe in, what you identify as. I want everyone to have an equal voice and not be discriminated against.
So for you, what does that vote look like in 2018 if you're voting for equality? Are you voting for Republicans? Are you voting for Democrats? Are you... Does it matter when it comes to voting for judges? What's your ballot looking like?
Well, I'm a registered Republican, but I vote across party lines.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm a very liberal Republican, And I vote for who I see fit. In the last election, I did not vote for Trump or Hillary. I voted for Jill Stein because I believe in what she stood for, but I have to register either side
right.
to get to vote in primaries.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So what's your plan this time? What's your plan for tomorrow if you haven't already voted early?
I have not voted early. I'm still kind of undecided as far as primaries go, but I'm looking for a change.
Yeah.
The way America's going right now is not the way I want to see it going.
Okay. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for talking to us and being transparent. We really appreciate it. And make sure you get there early because I suspect from St. Mary's to Frederick and Cecil County and anywhere else, lines are going to be long. So thank you again for talking to us. Let's talk to Marcus. Marcus calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Waldorf. Marcus, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to call, I called in at the time that you guys were talking about young people and voting.
Go right ahead.
I think that it's definitely a higher surge now than it was maybe in the 2016 presidential election. Because I think now we understand, speaking as a millennial myself, that if we don't vote, first of all, I think the idea of our votes not mattering keeps people our 45th president getting in the office and further enforcing the notion that our voices mean nothing. Because during things like, Eric Gardner, Mike Brown, it was those type of people on that side that were demanding civility from minorities, not trying to understand what we're going through. And I don't think we're going to get anywhere, not with the Black Lives Matter movement, say her name or Me Too, if we only have house or states run by people that don't really care about our oppression, which is all the more reason why voting needs to happen.
Yeah. Well, Marcus, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. And Marcus makes a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you may know this. Just last week, the Advancement Project released the results of their poll of Black and brown people to find out what were the top issues that were most important to them. The first one, the very, very first issue had to do specifically with racial issues.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And equality. The second one was, just as Marcus was talking about, was criminal justice issues, specifically police brutality, abuse of power, prison reform, all of those kinds of things. So, they didn't have to talk. They didn't have to have Marcus in the poll, but Marcus is reflective of exactly what that poll was saying. And I didn't want to lose this point we were talking about earlier, and then I want to get to the candidates. But I'm still troubled, Drew, by, you said that women, are often, these aren't your exact words, but, they're kind of the moral foundation when it comes to politics.
Black women.
Yeah, okay, black women. All right. Okay, I'll give you that. But, can white women also, couldn't that also be, part of who they are? And if the answer is yes, then what happened in 2016 with the coochie grabbing and I say that very seriously, because with that, with Me Too, with all of these things coming out, and people were still voting for for Donald Trump, with all of this, the vile language and everything else. My question is, what happened to the white women?
Right. Well, it's not all white women, right? Mm-hmm. Let's be clear. I have a good friend from Birmingham.
One.
Who, well, no, one of the things she told me.
You got the one good.
Well, no, one of the things she said was, after the election, she has a daughter who was of age to vote in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, she told her daughter when they went to the grocery store in Birmingham, and she said, "I just can't look at other white women." And her daughter was like, "But you white? Like, I don't get it." She was like, "I just don't know who the 53% are. Like, right. I just don't know who they could be. They could be my neighbors. They could be whoever, and I just can't look at them. Can't stand them." So it's not, right? There were 47% who said, "Oh no, I cannot deal with this." And so this is historical, right? When you start talking about the moral cord and if women are supposed to be that, I mean, yes, I fundamentally believe in the Bible that says that women are the rib and we protect the vitals, right? That's who we are. Mm-hmm. That's who we're supposed to be. But that doesn't mean that people can't be perverse and not understanding how you're able to do this. There have been reports and reports after reports that said, "I'm going to do what my husband said to do because he's in the house and I'm going to do
what
he's
the head of the family.
He's the head of the family, yeah. And I'm going to do what he's going to what he says to do, right?" Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to argue your setup, but what I am saying is that if you are true to who you are and you go inward and you recognize what is the world that you really want your child or your nephew or nieces or your family to grow up in, and if you feel like the one that 45 that Trump is trying to portray right now is good for you, then that's who you are. And you just need to deal with that. But if you believe, because when you talk about what I'm voting for, I'm voting for something better. So I can't imagine, right, how and why that they did that. I think they voted with their whiteness, just like in slavery time, right? You had the white women, the wives, who with the slave masters who went along with seeing black women and black men being struck and striking.
Families broken up.
They were all right with that. They came to the thing. So you have women who stood there during the civil rights movement, during the 50s and the 60s, and they were right out there with their children watching somebody hang. So, I mean, it's all really there. It's not like there's a difference now. It's just a different way that we're seeing it being portrayed.
I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Concha. Also, we're going to talk about candidates as well. Drew's been chomping at the bit. I can just see it. You know, everybody wants to talk about who's up, who's down. We won't know until tomorrow, but we're still going to talk about it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our pre-election day discussion. What, not who, is bringing you to the polls? That's our question tonight. Back to the phone lines. Concha calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Concha?
I voted early.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a black woman. I'm a mother and a teacher at D.C. Public Schools and a resident of D.C.
Okay.
I voted Democrat because the president called for a military parade being hosted in D.C., costing the level of $27 million. We need funding for affordable housing. We need funding for public education. And we need services to the elderly. The mayor had to communicate to the president the taxpayers' cost for this ridiculous method of just showing off.
Yeah.
So I voted for Muriel Bowser, and I want to thank her for saving us.
Well,
it's
thank you.
It's ridiculous to spend that kind of money on a military show off. That's all it was.
Well, thank you so much, Concha. I appreciate that. And that's only half the story because, like she said, what was it, 26, 27 million? That would have been the District of Columbia's price.
Right.
But the overall price was close to, what, $90 million?
Mm-hmm. Dollars. That's right.
And so, you know, not just D.C., but taxpayers, you know, even the trickle down, everyone would have been paying for that.
Right.
And there was the big discussion about, you know, that's what they do in Russia. Mm-hmm. That's what they do in North Korea. Mm-hmm. That's what they do in China. The United States doesn't do that. And so that's just one issue. But I think that's a prime, Concha, thank you so much. That's a prime example of what brings you to the polls.
And I also want to say that, you know, as we're sitting here talking and most of us are in the DMV area, so we see a lot of the national perspective, but there are a lot of people in these cities and states that are actually talking about real issues. They're not even really focused on Trump. Like, they are talking about healthcare. They are talking about criminal justice and police reform and all of the different things that are important to them locally. And then there's some things when you start really diving down into cities and states and counties, mm-hmm. there's some things that people are really talking about. So I believe that there are policies and ideas that people are really voting for. Also in the backdrop of saying we're going to vote against. So if this federal level, they're voting against the person that's there, but they're also voting for certain things that they need to see changing in their cities, in their states.
Mm. Let's talk a little bit about the candidates real quick, and let's talk about the three governor's races, Florida, Georgia, Maryland. In Georgia, there have been racial overtones. In Florida, there have been racial overtones. In Maryland, not so much. What's the difference? Go ahead. I mean, you know, this is not the Harold and Drew show.
Right. Let us be,
but, because Drew just needed a minute. Go ahead, Drew.
I'm just going to say.
Say it.
What I will say about Florida and Georgia is they feel threatened by the competition. Mm-hmm. And not only that, especially in Georgia, one of the things that my husband said the other day was for the GOP, their whole mantra, their whole sentiment is if you ain't cheating, you ain't winning. So basically, they're trying to cheat their way through. And then, like you said, throw those racial undertones from you're not qualified to this person went to Harvard to all the different things that, you know, you call it dog whistling. But I think it was Reverend Sharpton who said, well, I must have dog ears because I hear everything that they're saying very clearly. So at the end of the day, they are feeling threatened. But I guess conversely in Maryland, maybe there is not a real on the Republican side, someone feeling really threatened, so they're not actually unloading in that way publicly. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know. I don't run into circles where they would tell me something that's racist about being jealous, but I do know that right now they might not feel that there's a huge threat.
Mm-hmm. And it's been a lot of money spent in Maryland. So there's been a lot of money, like in terms of Larry Hogan, some of the last and final or campaign finance reports show that he has over $9 million cash on hand, as well as the National Governors Association has also invested a lot. So it has not been as out in the front, but there have been a lot of ads, attack ads that have gone and that are airing in a lot of communities where people are saying, oh, you know, Jealous wants to expand a lot of different programs and healthcare and other entitlements within the state, but how is he going to pay for it? And really, it's been not so much really a race war per se, but mm-hmm. it's definitely been more so around policy and economics and a bit more sophisticated than you would find in Georgia or even in Florida.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about some of the other national you know, races, one of the things that I have found, just not national races per se, but in the Senate in North Dakota, for example, mm-hmm. and what is happening with Native Americans,
yes.
and the big push that just blows my mind,
right.
that the descendants of the folks who were here first are being prevented from voting.
Right, exactly.
You know, as we used to say, when you grow up, that's just too much not like right. I just don't mm-hmm. understand that.
But let me say that actually starts, so speaking of North Dakota, so you got to go back to Standing Rock, actually. Mm-hmm. So you can't just start the being disenfranchised. And you got to start with the reservations and how
right.
people have been treated.
Yes.
How literally Native lives matter, and how they have women who have been on reservations have been the most victimized. People have been literally coming on reservations, literally grabbing women, raping them, and killing them. And so from Standing Rock, literally many Wachoni saying water is life, fighting against pipelines, mm-hmm. to against now the voter suppression that's being done against mm-hmm. them, it's just been horrible what's been done to those communities. I think so. What you're seeing now, though, is what you're saying is that these groups are becoming much more, I think Drew said it, they're becoming much more threatened because mm-hmm. there's something that's pushing them at a point where they feel they're just unloading all kinds of voter suppression you can unload.
That it would suggest that they can't win by you know, that's fair it. And square.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. And maybe in Maryland, I think what you were saying is that maybe in Maryland they think they can win fair and square. And maybe or they think they can win. But I think that they really feel in Georgia and North Dakota in some aspects, in Kansas, definitely in Florida, they're feeling like we can't win this unless we... I mean, the president put out a tweet today saying that we have alerted police officers that if you vote illegally, we will prosecute to the furthest extent of the law. I mean, that is voter intimidation 101.
Yes.
And so in the White House, on steroids.
Yes.
And so we are actually, I'm actually afraid for tomorrow.
Yes.
On some aspects. Because one thing that my prayers have been, like, you know, I have seen so many young people who have been excited and they're pumped up. I've also been hearing about, because I was in Charlottesville when they had the uprising and the militias. So I'm afraid about what's happening. I'm afraid of the rhetoric that they are, the caravan that's coming up, that there are folks who are stealing your vote. I mean, this administration is literally, is putting literally this gasoline on the powder keg.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, the other thing, let's talk about Texas, Nia, because we've got Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke. And this is the thing that just, again, I think this is just fascinating because one could argue that Ted Cruz is just not from the streets. How can you let a man talk about your wife and your daddy and then you shake his hand and have him campaign for you? I don't know, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, you know, maybe I'm not as much of a student of history as I think. I cannot see a black man doing that.
Right.
And I just don't see it. And to see Ted Cruz acquiesce.
Right.
That's nice.
Well, that is nice. But it's about power for some of our elected officials. And unfortunately, we are not in some people have strayed away from voting based on morality, right, and based on morals and based on principles. And so that is how we gotten to where we are now. And I think also, honestly, fear. We are going to the polls in some regards. People are going and voting based out of fear with a lack of education. We have to be very much more robust in terms of voter education and talk about the issues candidly and talk about how a lot of policies are going into place that are under the radar and not just on a federal level. We listen to so much rhetoric coming from Twitter. Right? From 45 and coming from
Russian meddling.
Yes, Russian meddling from CNN and other places. But in order for really transformation to take place, especially in this political space, it has to be from the ground up. It's going to have to be a lot of grassroots efforts, a lot of organizations like Black Girls Vote, like campaigns like When We All Vote that Michelle Obama has started. It's going to have to be local and state governments actually stepping up. And really, you know, in a conservative space, right, federalism is a huge principle, right, and states' rights. And so we have to now wave that flag and say, no, this is an American thing. This is federalism is a constitutional thing. And so states have a key role now more than ever.
I think you made a really great point. For it doesn't matter which way you're leaning or where you're, you know, you've got to make sure that you get your. It's like shopping for a car. You know, this is your budget.
Kick the tires. Right.
Hey, that's right. You're going to kick the tires. Kick the tires at CNN. Kick them at MSNBC. Kick them at Fox News.
Right.
You know, at the top of the hour, watch each one of them and listen. And be able to make intelligent decisions. Mm-hmm. Stay out of the echo chamber.
But not only that, though, I think disservice for the past maybe 3-4 years from our corporate media has been not being able to or not. Maybe everybody came from the South. You know, we don't call people a lie. They should have been calling stuff out a lie a long time ago.
Right.
So now we're suffering for what we have here. And we all were able to do our due diligence in this space.
Yeah. And thank you. Read.
Yes.
And listen, I want to thank all of you, Drew Elands, Reverend Lennox Yearwood, and Nia Duggins. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Get out
thank
there
you.
And vote.
That's right.
Vote early. I'm not going to say vote often. You only get one chance tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay. Keep it fair. Keep it square. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, November 5th. I'm Harold Fisher. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned to The Connection. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network.